انتخابات ریاست جمهوری خواهد بود.
Well, this round we have two hopefuls of the 10th presidential election in Iran, Dr. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad and Dr. Mohsen Rezai. I would like to welcome both of them to this debate. Well, if you want to greet the viewers, please go ahead, Mr. Ahmadinejad. I would like to say hello to the Iranians and also to Mr. Rezai and you.
I take the opportunity to greet the great people of Iran and Mr. Ahmadinejad and you. War greetings to you.
Thank you very much. Before we launch the debate tonight, let me remind you of a legal point that I always remind the participants. The participants are expected to criticize the viewpoints of each others and do not speak about the candidates who are absent. As a result, if they speak about the absent candidates, then we just reserve some time for them to respond, and they can use this right. According to the draw we had tonight, first Dr. Ahmadinejad is going to speak, and then Mr. Rezai will conclude the debate. Mr. Ahmadinejad, we are in the decade of development and progress, or justice, that is the fourth decade of the revolution. Well, we have many viewpoints about social, cultural, economic development, and all the candidates have spoken about these issues, particularly Mr. Rezai also has had his viewpoints. What is the best managerial model for realization of these objectives? In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, O God, expedite the reappearance of Imam Mahdi and make us among his assistants and those who bear witness in front of him. Let me make a few points in the beginning. First of all, I would like to thank the 100,000 people who came to the prayer grounds today, but unfortunately I couldn't attend, and hope that on Friday I will go to the mosque of the university, Sharif University. Let me make a few points about last night. A debate. I reserve this right for me because it has been repeated in different debates. I'm going to make two points. The figures or the statistics I present are taken from the Statistical Center of Iran and the Central Bank of Iran, where for 50 years, they have been publishing the statistics and figures. At a TV program, contrary to the norms, repeatedly a candidate and a person who is also in charge is accused of many accusations of lying, and it should be discussed, God willing, when it is my legal time, my legal right indeed, I will give answer. A liar is a treacher, and a treacher is a coward. Anybody in this government or is in this administration has been fearful. So why they just attack and without offering any plan against me? They just speak whatever they like, and I will give explanation about it. Millions of CDs are distributed, and they cut the statements and remarks, and then through a media game, they just launch the attacks against me. These are against ethics. Those who want to give lessons of ethics and manners to the people must not do such things. I will give that in my legal time, God willing. Tomorrow will be the guest of the people in Mazandaran, in Sari, and then in the evening in Ahvaz. I say hello to all of them. Well, about the economic model, there are many aspects. When we have the vision, we have the policies, and we have the plans, and we have the Article 44. You know, this is our economic theory. That is the economic theory of progress and justice. The theory of progress and justice means that the people manage the country and the opportunities are distributed justly among them. The country must be rich, and the richer the better. But the distribution of wealth must be on the basis of justice, and opportunities should be distributed on the basis of justice, and all the capacities of the country should find an opportunity for flourishing. Well, let me ask a question from Mr. Rezaei. Among the candidates, the only one who has new ideas and viewpoints regarding different sectors. Besides the other two hopefuls is Mr. Rezaei, and they are noteworthy. I would like him to shed more light on his viewpoints. You spoke about the economic federalism. Well, it's a new idea. But does it have any relationship with the administrative divisions and regional divisions in Iran? So, you know what is the administrative division in Iran? How do you connect them so that the idea or the objective is realized or accomplished? Because that's an assistance to the economic development in our country, because you want to expedite the pace of economic development. You want to concentrate on 9 points or spots. And how the other provinces will be linked, and what will be the relationship between social security and the political management to this economic management or system? How do you coordinate them? Well, there are other questions that I would like to ask from you later. Thank you very much, Mr. Rezaei. Go ahead.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. As the great and dignified people of Iran know, I entered this scene with the code name being the Holy Prophet's daughter's name, Zahra, and I wish to follow my campaign with the same code name. I ask my fellow countrymen to hold vigil tonight for all the martyrs and the scholars, and say peace and blessings be upon the Prophet Muhammad and his progeny. Well, there is one point to mention here regarding debates. It was expected to start since the last round of presidential election. Well, it started this time. It was a good initiative. It brings clarity and transparency in information dissemination to help them decide better. I think it is a very good initiative, but I also think the debates should be used to discuss the issue, the subject intended in the debate, that means the formation of the next government. We should talk about this more. That, I mean, let's talk about our potentialities, our plans, what we're going to do if we're elected president, and what kind of change we're going to bring to the country, in what way, what issues are we going to address. That's what we should address in such debates. We should also criticize the previous performances, but alongside that, we should also talk about our future plans. Also, the debate should bring about some kind of excitement and actually a step forward for a nation. Now, if during the debates we change the rules of the game and take it elsewhere, that means that we are not going to reveal the facts for people and we do not want to discuss the main issue. That's why I thank Mr. Ahmadinejad, who concentrated tonight on the plans. And he had a question for me regarding my plans that I'm going to answer. But first, I find it necessary, in order to answer this very same question, to give a better response, I think it's better to have a look at the economic situation of the country now and make a prediction about the future and see what can be done to settle the problems. Nowadays, we both suffer from inflation and stagnation, both. Inflation is what the central bank has announced, and Mr. Ahmadinejad, in the 50 times he talked about inflation, 48 times he talked about the annual average of inflation rate based on the index that he talked. The inflation rate is now 25%. Unemployment rate stands at 12.5%. I have graphs and diagrams to show that. It shows that we're not in a good economic situation these days. On the other hand, there are two main markets in the economy, which is the market of capital and liquidity. Both suffer problems. There are $35 million bank debts, and money is not flowing. It's locked. The circulation of liquidity is not circulating the way it should. And the stock exchange market, it has went down to 8,000 from 11,000. So it cannot attract people's finances and investment that effectively to in production industries. The investment average in the past 4 years, that rate has been 4.7%. The growth economic development has been over 6%. That means our economy is not in a good situation, but regarding future, if we look at the future, then international organizations indicate that if the trend goes on like this, we won't be better off. The economic growth rate, for example, is anticipated this year to be less. Next year it will go even less, and in the next 2 years, maybe it will reach below 4%. We have the oil prices decline, so the past 4 years oil income, we won't have those incomes. The trade balance is positive now, it's positive 18, but the monetary international difference, it will go to minus 13 next year. I should also add the fact that 2 years ago, and I don't want to mention a figure here about the foreign reserve, they want to give statistics, but we can talk about the reduction. There has been a 20% reduction in foreign reserve. This is while in Saudi Arabia they have $400 million reserve, $400 billion. Libya and Algeria, they have $100 billion in foreign reserve. This shows that our economic situation here is not really good. good. If we compare this with what we should have in the prospect, the 8% economic growth should have been there, and the investment rate should have been much more than what it is now, and inflation should have been only one digit, and unemployment should have also fallen to one digit rigor, and the Gini coefficient should have also reached a better status than it is now. So all this indicates that the status quo is not really good, and the future may be even worse compared to the first step taken regarding the outlook plan. We are behind the schedule. Well, my question for my great brother, Mr. Ahmadinejad, is whether I become president or he is reelected, we should find a way out of the current situation. My question for him is now, if you are reelected, how are you going to change the situation? Are you going to do what you've been doing the past 4 years? Then you should answer, explain what obstacles you have faced. Have you come up with a new initiative? I should also add that I do not find any head of state totally black and white. I think Mr. Ahmadinejad has also done some positive, has taken positive measures. I've always mentioned this fact. But the shortcomings in his government, if they are not going to be considered for the future if he's elected president again, he should think seriously. If not, then this team, this administration is not a good one, and it will keep us from taking strides to our future plans. Well, economic federalism, as he said, this is economic federalism. It's not total federalism. We look at the country on a regional basis, but politically speaking and defense and security-wise, we run the country from capital Tehran. Maybe 40 provinces turn to 40, 45 provinces. Provinces may become smaller in terms of security and defense aspects, but in regards to economy, it'll get larger. There will be 9 vice presidents running these provinces, those who have expertise in trade and economy and relevant areas to run the country in a better way. Their interaction with political figures. This division of duties will be done very precisely. All security and defense issues will be run from Tehran, but in terms of coordinations in any region where there is likely, maybe it's five provinces actually, every region with 5 provinces, when it comes to coordination, they will have councils like those of the Security Council meetings. Then the strategic and issues will be, decision-making will be adopted from
Thank
capital
you very much, Mr. Ahmadinejad. Would you announce the times?
Yeah. There is 9 minutes, 55 seconds, and you 4.5 minutes.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Rezaei. The Federation of Federative Plan is what was discussed in IRGC, that was the 9 spots or regions. You know that no economic plan will be meaningful without social political plans or divisions, because there will be overlaps, and the President has to have all the divisions under his control. And what will happen if you have only 9 economic plans and 9 vice presidents? What will happen to others? You know, when you go to a village, there are villages and urban areas which have problems with the centers or with the cities. So we have to pay attention to this aspect. You said that we have a stagflation now. I think it is a mistake. It is wrong. You know how to calculate inflation rate. Now we have an annual average compared to the previous year. Yes, the average rate of 2008 and 2007 were 25%, and I announced it and Central Bank announced it too. But what is the average rate today? Today compared to last year, it is below 15%. It means that the inflation inflation is declining. But what was the reason for inflation? Partly, it stemmed from international inflation. You know that. Well, you know that when oil prices increase, then we have an increase in the commodities prices. You know, steel was 1,300 in international markets, while it was much lesser in the previous year. We cannot control the export of steel or other commodities. So partly it stemmed from that fact. Anyway, it didn't leave any impact on our economic growth. You know that in the fourth development plan, we just set the goals very high. The average goal for economic growth was something which was increased to 8 in the next plan. That was 2.5 was productivity, which whose role was 0.4% only. That is out of 8%, 0.4% was the productivity, and we had to increase it to 2.5%. I think under the international circumstances, 6% growth rate is a very good growth rate, and it is much more than the previous programs and plans, particularly the plan before my administration. So, and also with regard to another aspect, the inflation is declining. Meanwhile, the income of the of those who earn income also were increased, and therefore we didn't have any problem regarding those who receive income, but regarding the wagers, we had some problem. When we speak of stock exchange market, I think it is very active. You said that it is not. You know that we had a bubble in 2003-2004, which was really something wrong. It was a bubble growth, and then they increased the prices. And then in our administration, we made it flat, and then the stock exchange market has found its real place. And the majority of the transactions took place during my administration, and now it's very active. And the international centers that calculate the developments also acknowledge the growth. You mentioned some point about the investment. You know, the investment rate, it is less than 4 years ago. What is the reason? The reason is that we have corrected the figures and the statistics. You know, the second-hand machinery is very imported to the country, but they used to give very high vouchers, and then they received foreign exchange loans. We have just announced the real prices, and therefore the figure has come down. On the other hand, you know, the figure of industrial investment in previous administration was something above $10 billion, but in my administration it is $10 billion. It is 5 times more than that. It means that the economic activities are there and industrial growth is there. But one of the reasons was the import of second-hand machinery, but registered under a fake price. And partly, you know, we have paid for storing and so on. Well, regarding let me just ask my second question from you. I didn't get the answer for the first question. You are a manager. I was too. So I want some clarity. We want a new management system. Now, what is the relationship between the vice president and the governor generals and the center and the capital, I mean? So you want to have economic enterprise in Kohkilyo province. So then Kohkilyo may be under Fars province regarding economic activities, and therefore some people should go and settle there. What will be the relationship, political relationship between these centers? Because these loops that we have, it's very difficult to coordinate them. You know, the more managerial loops we have, the more difficult to coordinate them. I think that the economic conditions compared to international economic condition is okay. You spoke about inflation. Let me show you a curve now. And now in 2008, you know, we had inflation growth rate, and all other continents had it more than us. That is, the ratio of the inflation is more than us. It means that in Iran, we have had good economic management. Meanwhile, our economic plans are very clear. Making the economic activities goal-oriented is clear. We have prepared a plan for that in 7 chapters, that is infrastructures, and also the rectification or reforming of the subsidies and also productivity and the value of national currency. These are the fundamental steps that we have to take in our economic activities. So, and I mean the targeted subsidies and so on, but you said that the performance was not good. We have to give the economic indexes. In all sectors, the indexes show growth compared to the previous administration. And very serious figures are there, and then I'll explain some of them in the continuation of this debate. You spoke about National Development Fund. Now, my question is whether it is the same thing which has been stipulated in the 5-year development plan, or it is something else. For instance, you speak about $200 billion. Is it from now on, from oil income? How long will it take to just garner that amount of money? Are you going to exchange it into rial, that is national currency? And are we going to deposit it into banks and then get the interest and distribute it among the people? You said that you will pay 100,000 tuman to every Iranian citizen. And then out of these $200 billion whose source is not clear, how much will be the income so that you distribute 100,000 each to every citizen?
Okay, 7 minutes and 48 seconds, Mr. Ahmadinejad, Mr. Rezaei. Well, I think the statistics, we should look at them more carefully and talk about them more precisely. I don't want to use the word lie or fabrication. No, I do not believe in that. But statistics cannot have variables in them, you know, like the international inflation in the year 2009. We cannot separate it from the 2009 excluded. Why should we do this? If statistics are going to be given, they should be done on a shared basis. The figures that the central bank have announced is that in the year 2005, where Mr. Ahmadinejad started, it changed to 11.9 in 2006. In the year 2007, it changed to 18.4, and the next year, 25.4%. You can see that for yourself. This is not the topic of our discussion. We're going to talk about people's purchasing power and what has happened to that. Well, if you look at the cheese, for example, that we bought in the year 2005, how much was that? And now at the end of 2000, in the middle of 2009, what's the price for cheese? People are there, people are watching TV now, and all of them are very good at calculating prices. Housewives, even kids nowadays make such calculations because these debates, you know, the good thing about it is that the literature of economic discussion, this is being spread in society through these debates. So this is our discussion. From the beginning of 2005 to date, the inflation rate has been going on continuously. Has this happened in the world continuously? In the world economy has faced inflation the past 4 years? That's not the case. And the next issue is, well, another comparison should be made. In 2005, the beginning of the year, around March, 2,500 tumans was the price of eggs, and it changed to around 1,500 tumans. When you compare lentil price, for example, and all other groceries, you can see that this matches what I say. When I say inflation is 25%, this matches with this. Mr. Ahmadinejad talks about the last 5-6 months, the wages of the pensioners has increased. This is what Mr. Ahmadinejad has done, which has been a very good task. some regulations that were already approved, and it was not advisable to act accordingly. Mr. Amanjot has recently enacted those laws and regulations. But the question is, people's purchasing power in the past 4 years, what has happened to this in the past 4 years? Has it declined? This has declined. Well, in the past 5-6 years, he has tried, and he has tried to compensate for this. Another issue is the index, which recently emerged in the world, is an index on, let's call it deprivation, the summation of inflation plus stagnation. In 2005, the first and second seasons, the index dropped. That means people underwent less pressure. And then it reached 18% or 19% in the first season in the year 2006. But in the second season of the same year, and up until the third season of 2008, which means fall actually last year, look at the plunging curve and the pressure on people's shoulder here. Well, this is the source of the from the Central Bank of Iran. It's ready. It's there on the website. So when I say we're not economically well off and people have economic problems, this cannot be hidden. This should be recognized. The figure Mr. Amanjot said, that 15%, that point-to-point comparison, that is no cure to our problems. We're talking about people's subsistence and their problems, the pressure that people are suffering. How much is that? That's what we should measure. When we ask people themselves, they know clearly what's the real story. I don't want to go into more detail. Regarding the question he asked about federalism, it's a good plan. We had a detailed discussion in the Expediency Council in a vast country like Iran. We cannot always see the president and the cabinet always traveling from point to point, from province to province and to villages and towns. This is not possible. Then the management should be strong enough to settle the issues in those regions. When they want to have a waterway, water canal, it's not necessary for us to take the whole cabinet there to see if that's going to be part of our project or not. This is beneath the government's dignity. This is a vacuum in management, actually. All over the world, there are only 3-4 countries that have an administration of governance like Iran. They're not federal system, I mean. Due to national security issues, we have separated the issues from our economic issues, like what happens on Kish Island. The political division administration is totally different from other economic activities, actually. They have their own laws and regulations. There are two separate issues. Well, to be cautious, we say there should be a coordinating council, because there are two really separable issues. Regarding the second subject, that was management, let's talk about that a little bit. Well, principally, I want that to be like that, Mr. Sinipur and the people of Iran. The criticism should be made face to face. Gossip is not good. Backbiting is not good. The reason I kept some of the criticism for such debates, that's why. It's not good to talk about somebody's behind somebody's back, and in his absence, I do not advise that. Of course, we cannot always have all the people sitting in front of us and then criticize them. That's not possible all the time. But if, when I'm criticizing, I've talked enough about my plans. That's why I now have the opportunity in Mr. Ahmadinejad's presence. Maybe I would also like to criticize Mr. Ahmadinejad a bit more, and the reason is because I have talked about my plans already, and if necessary, I'll talk about them more. One criticism I want to direct at Mr. Ahmadinejad's management is the issue of instability. 15 cabinet members, 8 of them as ministers, he has replaced 8 ministers in his cabinet. the economic triangle of his, which needs to be stable, because in the Article 44 prospect, we know it's envisaged that the economic stability is important. The economic finance minister got replaced, the governor of central bank was replaced, the head of the planning and budget and planning organization was changed. Three governors of central bank were replaced. It's a very sensitive organization, extraordinarily sensitive. Economically speaking, any change in central bank means shaking the pillars and affecting the monetary pillars of the country. Nearly 24 governors general were replaced. Even this has spread to sports clubs like Sevdal and Piruzi clubs. They witnessed seven changes in management. This is part of the authority of the president, but my proposal is that if I become president, the first thing I'm going to do is the president himself, if I'm the president, I will restrict myself to not to do substituting ministers very easily. Expert positions should be separate from other less important positions. It will benefit me and also the people and the nation as well. Regarding tariffs, I want to say that when inflation went higher, our friends got agitated and they really manipulated tariffs and
changes. So your 10 minutes is over. Do you want to continue or you will talk later?
Let me have one or two more examples and then I'll finish. Regarding Turkmenistan, yes, we bought it for 4 cents. They said 14 cents. We did not pay attention, so we had to later on for that hard winter, it changed to 35 cents. Regarding Shiraz railway track and also security issue and management of security, in the past 4 years, we have had problems. Of course, it does not mean that before this 4 years, all these managements were doing the right thing. The previous government also faced some same problems. Or in the east of the country, for example, in Khuzestan and the explosions in Ahvaz, and also some things that happened and the insult to one of our Turk brothers and the tension created there and the people who got killed. My question for Mr. Ahmadinejad is, what management pattern will he adopt if he's elected president again so that we make more use of these historic opportunities? Lots of blood have been poured on the path of revolution and in the historical juncture that we are. And now we should benefit from every moment and opportunity. So what is he going to do regarding
Thank you very much. You spoke 11 minutes, 41 seconds. Namaste, Ahmadinejad. Thank you very much. Mr. Mohsen Rezai, in his previous debates, used his time and talked against this administration. And also sometimes he really make fun of this administration. I'm not going to touch them. He spoke about unemployment and inflation. Inflation rate is 25, I explain it. But unemployment has reduced 2% according to the same report of the central bank that you mentioned. So these two did not go in the same direction. Meanwhile, during this past the past 4 years, according to the plan and budget scheme, we have increased the incomes in accordance with the inflation rate. So what you said is not correct. And you also added the depravity to it. And you say that the people's condition is miserable now. So it doesn't mean that we are in an ideal situation. You know, always we have to study the condition and situation compared to other stages. If you say overall it is so the previous administration was so too. The average inflation rate of Mr. Khatami is there. But, you know, we have to compare the inflation average inflation rate in the beginning of the two administrations or governments in the average inflation rate of the four administrations or governments. Ours is less than others. It is the central bank's figures. You speak about fluctuations. In the other governments also, there were fluctuations. Meanwhile, in the second or third years, considerable part of inflation in Iran stemmed from international inflation and also rationing the gas and oil, gasoline and gas. And also, you know that some of the stipulations or predictions spoke about 15% per unit inflation rate, but we wanted to control it and we didn't want to have such a rate. And employment also, we have reduced it by 2% according to the central bank's report. You said that people's condition is really miserable. Yes, they feel the rising prices. They also feel the declining prices. I hope you compared all the commodities prices, not only some of them. So, you know, the purchasing power increases when we have reduction in the in some rates and so on. Also, the per capita income has increased. You said that 15 members of the cabinet and also the deputies were replaced. It was my pledge with the people, to the people, and commitment to the people. And I also have the same commitment to the people. In our choices, we are not infallible. We have a plan and we have to go according to the plan. We make effort in order to have the best choice. Those who cannot really go ahead with us. So we are racing with the world. So it is a race. We have a plan. We have to forward the plan. So the coach changes the players. What is important is the plan itself. The orientation of the plan must be preserved and the efforts must be made in the direction of the goals and objectives. You said that we have increased the tariffs without any calculation. It was for the first time in our country that we had a fixed book. So, well, some of the commodities tariffs might have been changed because of the international changes, but the tariff book is for the agricultural produce and other products. When there is decline in the world and when there is increasing, we have it for the first time in Iran that we have predicted all these fluctuations, and there is no we are controlling the fluctuations. It has been we have been doing so for 2 years. It's I think nice to bear in mind that the average tariff was 22% in the previous administration and now it is 33. You say that they say that we have increased the imposts through reducing the tariffs. The average tariff rate is 33%. The average tariff rate during the previous administration was 22%. Therefore, we have increased the tariffs. 80% of the commodities imported to the country during my administration are the intermediate commodities, and they are exempted from tariffs. Only 4% tariffs are exacted on them. So it's only an accusation. You know, the ratio of the non-oil commodities export to the imports has increased. It means that we have had a good management on exports and imports. Well, we have $18 billion a year of exports. That is $57 billion we had non-oil exports, which is more than the total target of the fourth development plan. It means that we have had a good management, and the domestic production has increased 6.2%. We have GDP. Compared to the international situation, I think that we have had a good management of our economy. But the National Development Fund, you didn't talk about it. You didn't give answer to my question, and I hope that you'll give answer to my question. You said that you're going to decrease the taxes and you're going to increase the salaries, and you're going to prepare the budget plan without oil income. And I think your federal system is incompatible with our political and administrative system. Why should we segregate the provinces from each other? Now we have demands for new provinces. It means that the new divisions must be carried out. You're going to just bring several provinces under the same blanket and then segregate the political from economic sectors. I think it's a great mistake and will not be materialized indeed. Meanwhile, if you think that some of the positions will be fixed and others will be fluid, I think it will not be possible because the economic and political positions work together. They are not isolated islands and they cannot work for themselves in isolation. So you cannot say just we manage them in a separate islands. In the next 20 years, we may reach that goal. Meanwhile, where there is federalism, there are several countries, not only one country. You know, they don't have a single national identity. They have been separate or independent ethnic communities, and they have joined and made a federation. But a country with a single national identity and with a centralized government system, in order to control the government, I think federalism will not work. It will be very difficult. Meanwhile, you also mentioned, I don't want to say that it was some sort of protest. You know, the government will never go to a province to decide about a canal. If Mr. Mohsen Rezai was familiar with the administrative system, he wouldn't talk in this manner. I think that you are not acquainted with the bureaucratic system of our country. I think you weren't a member of the bureaucratic system. You were in the IRGC, and then you went to the Expediency Council, and you are involved in theoretical activities. You have not been involved in practical management of the country, and therefore you are not acquainted with the structures. When the administration or cabinet goes to a province, what does it mean? So, and what is the impact? You said that you will decrease the taxes, you will increase the salaries, and you will prepare a budget plan without all income. Bear in mind that we can implement a plan or a law when the Parliament gives the budget to us. You know, the bill of the civil services was predicted in the budget from this year, and for the retired from last year, we just implemented the law.
Thank you. 8 minutes and 22 seconds. Mr. Rezai. Well, there are a few issues to discuss. So economic and political posts cannot be segregated. How has that happened all across the world? Why shouldn't we be able to do that? The National Development Fund that I talked about is the same fund that we talked about in the Expediency Council, and we approved of that. And my discussion is if we have had such a fund since the revolution, we could have had $200 billion in that, and every month we could have paid 100,000 tumans, that is around $100, to everyone, and the value could have been 400,000-500,000 tumans, which is $400-$500 actually for every person in this country. Reducing the taxation, yes, that's what I will definitely do at the time of a stagnation. I'm not after taking revenge on the institutions, what's happening now. The government has simply let go of these institutions, and they are suffering from stagnation, and some of them came to me and told me that in such conditions, the government even give us a slap in the face, if you will. They don't not only help us, they also take it hard on us. The Chamber of Commerce has announced that the trade institutions in the country, 50% of the countries across the country work with half capacity, and 60% of institutions and economic institutions actually in the past 8-9 months, they have had layoffs up to 1/3. This shows crisis when government talks about there is no crisis, when there is no problem. This itself means that these economic institutions are left alone, which is a problem. Therefore, reducing taxation, yes, that's what we're going to do. This is helping the institutions get out of crisis. That's what that's known in the world. If Ms. Ahmadinejad has no experience in this, they can ask about this. They can ask economic experts when there's stagnation in a country. What's your proposed package to me? What are we going to do in that situation? He can ask others. When he's talking about my not being familiar with administrative affairs, he should judge himself. He knows my background. He knows his own background. In the whole time of the 8-year war, we actually run the government for 3 years at the beginning of the after the revolution. Actually, we were running the country by ourselves, and even after that time, it was the same. The last 12 years, my information regarding inside information from ministries is maybe tenfold, as Mr. Ahmadinejad's friends come and tell us, his close comrades come to us, and our joint friends that we have, many of them, they come and give me the details about whatever is happening inside the government, and he knows my skills and abilities in organizing and management skills. If I don't know more than he does, I definitely know as much as he knows. I'm as experienced as he is. Well, regarding tariffs, we should see when Mr. Ahmadinejad says, based on regulations, we have had these tariffs. Let's discuss it more. We have sugar, we have oil seeds, and we have tea. And this is the agriculture of the country. 2 years ago, in 2005, the tariff for raw sugar raised to 24%. 120%, and from 150% it reached 10%. The result is, instead of 500 tons of imports, we have 2,481,000 tons of sugar imported into the country. Consequently, 32 sugar and sugarcane companies, 8 of them are shut down. Consequently, then the rest, let's say instead of working for 5 months in a year, they're only working 40 days a year. The culture of sugar beet totally got and destroyed. We have potatoes instead. So much potato that potato cultivators are having problems, and Mr. Ahmadinejad had to buy many of these potatoes so that they won't go bankrupt. 85,000 people actually have lost their jobs, and instead of 12.5 million, let's say, the raw material of bit, there's a sharp reduction in that. And there has been $2,500 million loss on the part of farmers. When there is a reduction on tariff, then there will be a long range of losses inflicted both on countries, sugar countries, and the crisis from there has spread to workers and employment, and from there to potatoes, and it creates a domino effect is there, and it creates problems one after another. And then the issue of the Mehr project and other things that our friends have done. All this shows that decisions are not made so wisely. Maybe the reason is because in Mr. Ahmadinejad's government, the elite actually did not have much share in his government, and instead of using the elite, like the letters that economists have written to Mr. Ahmadinejad, that's proof that he also had a meeting with economists, which was a good thing to do, but this never continued. Where do we start development from? The Chinese told me that the starting point was ownership. With the studies that were made in the Secretariat of the Expenditure Council, the starting point for Economic development must be the elite. That means the elite must be all employed and taken advantage of, so that we can have a big leap, which means acquiring development. These are two examples I cited for you. Well, given all this, I think if Mr. Ahmadinejad likes to become president again, he should think of getting these elites involved in the administration of the country's affairs, or else we'll face problems. I had a plan, I announced it, and if necessary, I will raise the issue again. The thinking chambers that should be active in all ministries. I want to have the opposition, my opponents, involved in those chambers as think tanks, but which will be a government in shadow, if you will. But every minister should have a room for think tanks so that my own critics come there and participate in meetings and discuss issues with me. My question from Sam Anjad is, the country's elite with all the skills and capabilities they have, if he's elected president again, how is he going to involve these people in development of the country?
Thank you very much. You spoke 8 minutes, 7 seconds, Mr. Ahmadinejad. Thank you very much, Mr. Mohsen Rezai. You mentioned a few points, and earlier also they were mentioned, and they were published in the papers which are in the opposition. You speak about domestic developments without referring to international developments. You know that last year and right now, many of the industries are facing inflation in the world. They have reduction of production, including the steel plants. You know, many countries have 40% reduction in their steel production, 50%, 39%. Only two countries have rise, Iran and China. Iran 20%, but China 2.4%. It's the report of the International Steel Association. You said that I have just left the small industries to themselves. Should I run them, or they should run? They should be managed by themselves. You know, we have taken care of them more than others. When I just took charge, 50,000. We had 50,000 industrial enterprises. 280 were at the threshold of crisis. Now we have 80,000 small industries. 200 are facing problems. And in the cabinet, sorry, Mohsen Rezai, I said Mr. Mohsen. So well, you are also a descendant of Prophet Muhammad.
Well, my mom is a Sayyid.
Well,
never claimed
you
that.
Are connected to the descendant of Prophet Muhammad. So 200 enterprises or small industries are there, and we have just set up working groups for them, and the governor of the central bank, industries minister, and other ministers or members of those working groups. You said that you know, we have the figure of the workers rendered unemployed over the past few years. 340,000 workers are laid off. This is the average. And today, this year also it is, so we don't have very severe changes. You know, the Chamber of Commerce has said that the industries are working with 50% of the capacity. It is more than 50%. In this administration, it is 40%. In the industrial section, sector, only 40% capacity was run. I mean, our industrial sector has always been under work. The reason was the wrong economic structure. You know, they used to render the money and the commodities as stagnant, and they used to just take benefit out of that. You know, money in Iran is hoarded. You know, this is hoarding of the money, and therefore the rate goes up. What should we do? In fact, we have to have a reform of the banking structure. We have done so. We have studied this problem for 3 years with the participation of the experts. I will explain it. And we have prepared a plan. And very soon, we will be submitting the bill to the government for reformation of the banking structure. In our economic plans, almost all expertise capacities have been used, except few who didn't want to cooperate with us. I have participated in the sessions for more than 1,000 hours. Many of the experts who have written to you participated, and they had 13 points, and three of them were responded by the head of your quarters. So I told them that the main problem is political here, not economic. Otherwise, enumerating the economic problems of the country is easy. There are tens of thousands of problems. We should see what is the trend, and then it can be reflected in the major indexes. You spoke about sugar. Yes. In 2005, when there were sanctions, then the Commerce Ministry was asked to allow some import to increase the imports of the basic commodities so that if we are sanctioned, we don't face serious problems, including sugar. We were very careful to reduce the tariff of the raw sugar because it is refined in our factories, and then the factories that used to work for 3 months now work for 8 months. Some of the factories were shut down. Yes. You know, a dilapidated factory, 40 years, 60 years old, you know, then the price as will be double the amount of the normal amount. And so when we want to purchase 500 from them, they don't sell. They say 560, but, you know, we just imported by 332 man per kilo. What will happen? So we have shut down some of the factories in order to modernize them. In many parts of the country, we are going to modernize the factories because in order to increase the productivity. In fact, we try to renovate them in order to increase the productivity. Otherwise, how can you purchase a kilo of sugar for 330 instead of 560? So we have stipulated all this in our plan. You said that we don't use the expertise of the elites. It's an affront to the government, I think. You just look at the expertise level of the expertise available in the cabinet. Most of them are specialized PhDs. Very seriously, they are. They have received their PhDs. They have entered they have attended the entrance exam, and then they have really attended the classes. They are not. They haven't received the degrees as it is in vogue now. They are specialized, and they are PhDs, real PhDs. You just bring any expert and let him debate with my commerce minister, with other ministers. For the first time in the history of country, all the professional crafts are working with the commerce minister, with the commerce ministry, and all the syndicates. We have solved the problem. It's a very good management. The market is controlled, while the inflation in the international arena was going up. I request you not to mention only a few people as elite. Why don't you consider my health minister, my commerce minister as elites, and my transportation minister? All are elites, and they have their consultation groups. So you call it shadow government. Well, it's a name. What is important is just consulting others and taking their views into consideration. I am in charge of the government or cabinet, and continuously I'm in touch with the economic experts from different groups. But we don't release the reports. We have at least 5 hours a week of session with them. I ask them questions, and they ask questions from me. Don't think that you are elite and your friends are elites, and the opposition is elite, but the government members are not. I think this concept is among the oppressed, let's say, concepts, and one day we have to just look after it. So security is also comparative, Mr. Rezai. Sorry, I say Mr. Mohsen, because I feel very intimate with you. Security is comparative. You just get the report from the law enforcement forces every year. The number of offenses and crimes in the country are declining, except very small offenses or delinquencies. You know, in you know, we have decreased or increased. We cannot say that the trend always has been decreasing, but the main offenses have been decreasing because of the high security in the country. It is a popular security, and it is a well-thought security in our country. You didn't say how. Yes, we are exempting the taxes now. For instance, if tax officer makes a mistake, we have very intimate relations with the people and very precise relation. Yes, we take it into consideration when there is any complaint. We know that the professional crafts faced some problem last year. So for industries also, we made decision, proper decision for guilds. So, you know, we cannot speak about the economy of the country with general statements. You said that you are more experienced than me, you are older than me, yes, but you don't know the bureaucratic structure of the country. If knew what is the nature of administrative system, I know that opposition come to you, and many of these information have been given to you by them, but the bureaucratic system in our country has serious problems, Mr. Rezaei. You know, you cannot add a new organization or a new circle and then it will blossom. No, but in economy, we don't want to change only the shapes or the forms. So we set up a fund. You didn't say where will you get that $200 billion from in order to have $180 billion of interest. If you deposit it outside the country, it wouldn't have. But if you want to exchange it into reals, you cannot pump the money into the market. Even if you borrow this money, where do you want to deposit this money in order to get the interest? These are the basic questions. And the National Development Fund, too, should be gradually set up from oil income, and then we make investments. When we give loans for investment, then they don't have interest. If we want to charge them with high risk of interest, then we cannot have investment. It is just like the Oil Income Reserve Fund. So we have to give money to the people in order to stop factories. The main objective is boosting production.
Your 10 minutes is over. Will you continue?
No, it's okay.
Mr. Ahmadinejad, almost 31 minutes, and you almost 30 minutes. You talk in two stages, please, so that you finish it, 5 or 6 minutes, and then Mr. Ahmadinejad will talk for 10, 11 minutes, and then you will finish it up. Okay, regarding management, security management, I already said that we have the strongest intelligence machine in the region, the strongest police force and the armed forces. But the management, the security management is the problem, which is weak. The High National Security Council, I think they should act much more strongly than what they are doing now. In a strong Iran in the region, we should not see such events that happen these days. That's one problem. The issue of elite, for me, is really a serious one. Mr. Ahmadinejad evaded my question. My question was the great number of elites that we have in this country, the number of university lecturers. Mr. Ahmadinejad knows himself. People know this. Iran is one of the countries with one of the largest number of elites in the world. How are we going to involve these people in the development of the country, not executive affairs and the administrative affairs of the country? Well, one answer is the policies envisaged in the Article 44 of the Constitution. We should assign them work and projects. 50% of schools should be given to teachers themselves and get them involved. Therefore, I think he has evaded answering my question. The friends who help him, some of them are really invaluable elements and resources. If I become president, I will use some of those people, like the Minister of Economy. Yes, he's an elite. I approve. I helped in the parliament so that he will get a vote of confidence after Mr. Danish Shafari. He's also a friend of his. And I don't mean that whatever positive has been done before, we should forget about it. I'll never do that. Like the past 12 years, I will not act like what's happened. A truckload of people have come and gone. I'll not do that. I will do the positive things Mr. Ahmadinejad has done, but I'll stop shortcomings in his government. That's not what I mean. I mean the great mass of the elite existing in the country. How are we going to engage them in the development of the country so that we reach the status that we want to reach internationally? I think that suffices.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ahmadinejad. So you said that you run the government during the wartime. Did you say that? This is what you said.
Well, you don't want to talk. It's your turn.
Well, okay, I have a question, although it's my time.
The government during the Iran-Iraq war.
You said that you run the government.
Yes, that's what I meant. In many cities and provinces, the major burden of running the government affairs was on our shoulder. In the five provinces where the war was raging, we sent our forces there and we made them governor general or governors, and we had interactions with them and meetings with those people. That's what I mean by running the country's affairs. And I emphasize the first 3 years of the post-revolution era where the government was not very well established. We practically run all the affairs, and also the same thing happened during the war.
So what do you mean by the first 3 years?
The year when the IRGC got, that means 1980. That means,
so you mean that the IRGC used to appoint the governor general?
There was no war, but the IRGC was there.
But you said that in the five provinces.
One of the things that Mr. Bazargan said, that he gets involved, that we involve
you
in
mean
his
the provinces
affairs,
of the governors of Mr. Bazargan used to accept your governors?
Governors were usually appointed by us.
How can it be possible that is Mr. Sabarian, who was the interior minister, used to accept governor general from you?
Well, you have forgotten history.
No, I haven't forgotten the history. And Mr. Madani in Khuzestan, did he just appoint his
governors
from IRGC?
Most towns were appointed by us. If you look at history, it's recorded.
Well, I don't say that. You know, whatever you said about yourself, I cannot talk about my. I do not dare talk about myself, but I'm acquainted with the administrative system. You said that you used to run the government. Appointing few governors is different from running the government. They are totally different. You know, running the government means economic policy making, cultural policy making, political policy making. So if it had been so really, let me ask questions from those days. What was the economy of the wartime, the management?
We are not.
No, since you said I'm asking me questions.
In front of 40 million people, we're talking. We're not going to do propaganda here or show off. You know, you said that I'm not informed about the administrative
bureaucratic
system of the country.
I said you don't have information about it.
And in response, I said, no, it's the other way around. Since the very outset, we got involved in revolution activities and we were present. Many government activities were actually run by us. That's what I meant. And we're not talking about economic structures. Now, your question is, if I said that we were also into economic policies of the government, no, I never said so. What I meant was, when you're talking about, I'm not familiar with the bureaucratic system of the government. Yes, I have been familiar with all those.
So, Mr. Ahmadinejad, please go ahead. Well, when we want to reform the economic system, we have to correct the foundations. So with the change of the shapes and forms, nothing will be solved. Okay, set up a federal system. It's a form only. It's a method. So we set up a fund. So this is the method again. But in our economy, there are serious problems and we have to solve them. Let me give you one example. The energy consumption in Iran. 4,200,000 barrels per day we consume in Iran daily. So you said that this is extravagance and wastage, and we are just giving subsidies to them, and it is distributed unjustly because the more consumption, the more usage of these subsidies, and the reason for low productivity is the very same problem. So we don't have management of resources. Because all of us have learned to waste the energy, to consume more than the normal need. How are you going to solve this problem? What is your plan for this problem? Second, how about the banking facilities? You know that the banking facilities are just like infusion of blood in the body. How are you going to distribute it in a manner that all economic sectors will enjoy them? I have two questions.
Okay, time doesn't matter. Let us discuss.
Do not fix
why
the time. We want to discuss. So I just ask question, he will answer, and vice versa. So I have asked questions. You don't want to give answer?
Well, I will answer you.
So I have asked questions.
How much time is left? Mr. Ahmadinejad, 35 minutes so far, and you 33 minutes. Okay, regarding the fact that...
Let me use your experience.
I'm not talking about experience. I have an extensive plan. You can refer to my website and get the response to all your questions there. I have said in detail that we want to reach an economic revolution. An economic revolution, incidentally, if it doesn't have a form or shape, this is only a slogan-like statement. Talk about development, economic development. Okay, how? Through what mechanisms and what plans? When I talk about forms and shapes, they indicate that there is both theory and also strategies and action plan. But regarding the issue of subsidies, I should say my main criticism for you is you took those subsidies toward consumption more, and one aspect of this economic revolution is to actually direct subsidies toward employment and production. And the explanation is quite crystal clear. Instead of giving people fruits, we want to give them the fruit tree. Instead of giving them fish, we want to show them how to fish and give them the fishing tackle.
Thank you. So you don't want to compensate for the rising prices and you want to teach them jobs or professions?
No, there is a difference between cost and price. First, we reduce the costs and expenditures, and then those dilapidated cars and inefficient cars that are being produced and other items that are being imposed on people, and they take the costs higher. We start from there. Instead of, we are not going to raise the prices. If the parliament had approved of your plan and the inflation would go to 67%, God knows.
How are you going to reform the factories? You have to renovate them. Who is interested in modernizing them when
they have energy
at the disposal at low prices?
Yes,
it is not my problem.
No,
it's yours.
Investment. You cannot guarantee that. I guarantee investment security.
Well, an existing factory, it is there now.
Support for an investment, I will make use of them.
You know, the factory that exists right now, but it has low turnout. How are you going to increase the output when you give them cheap energy?
If you provide them security, they would have found an incentive. If you look at entrepreneurs, they did not find themselves belong to government. There is a gap between themselves. They feel insecure. Today you do privatization, and the day after they don't let them among the members of board of directors, as an example.
Well, what you said are mainly a series of claims with due respect. When I took charge, we had 50,000 small industries, but now it is 80,000. It means that the investment security is better than the past, but it's only a general statement. You say, for instance, economic security. I think it is not good for us to talk in this manner. We have to be pragmatic. Before this government, we had 50,000 small industries, and now we have 80,000. They have got the license for production, and the growth rate and economic growth rate is more than the previous administration or government. How do you say that we couldn't establish security for investment and activities? I have a very clear question from you. We have industries, for instance, let's say 80,000 small industries that they are producing, but the prices are very high because they are consuming energy with low prices. How are you going to reduce the energy prices? And what incentive can you give to the factory owners so that they renovate their factories and improve their management systems so that the prices of the commodities go down? It's a very simple question so that we'll be able to talk to the factory owners. How are you going to solve this problem?
The first thing I would do is, Mr. Minister, I will stop interfering in the banking system. With the interventions you have made in the banking system, you've taken the money to a wrong direction.
What interference did we have?
Entrepreneurs themselves should
How
talk
did we
about
interfere
this.
In the banking system?
Well, the whole of the banking system, you canceled the High Council on Money and Credit. You became the boss of all activities in the banking activities. How can a banking system have nobody as a head? This is one insecurity.
Well, for
example.
Your information, we have the Money Council, and we have the representatives from the Parliament that participate in the Council. The government's interference in banking system is not what you say, because earlier also they made the same statement. Before this government, all the governments used to receive loans from the central banks except us. Therefore, we didn't interfere in the activities of the central bank. Secondly, in the loans given, 8% of the total loans have gone to the small industries, and we had the enactment by the government, and the government is above the Money Council, and it was approved by the Money Council, and 8% was spent, and 900,000 jobs were created. If it were 20%, definitely the unemployment rate would be below 4%. I'm very sorry that some people out of 92%, which without any control defend, but they call the 8% interference in banking systems activities. If you have read the enactment, the government did not interfere. According to this enactment, the banks are responsible, and according to this bylaw, they have to control and supervise. What kind of interference did we have, the government before us? The previous government just gave 14% of the banking loans to the government organizations, but in this government, we give 100% to the private sector.
Mr. Minister, you have 2 minutes to finalize.
Okay, let him talk and I will talk later.
Mr. Rosai has 4 minutes.
I didn't want really to just speak in a manner to just only blame the friends, but I have to make some points. Mr. Mohsen Rezai, you said that you use the elites. I don't say that you don't. The government consults them too. But no government can consult all the elites or employ all of them, because some of them are not interested or it's not possible. So therefore, the best way is to involve most of the elites. 2 years ago, you just presented a viewpoint at the TV, and you said after 1 month, we will be having a war. Was it on the basis of the elites' viewpoints? And then you said, since I have mentioned this, then the attack was overruled and the enemy did not attack. You know that the United States for attacking a country announces 6 months before the date. As a politician, if you knew, should you really announce it? That is, in fact, just leaving the people with their backs to the wall as a politician?
Your time is over.
Okay, then I'll say goodbye to the viewers.
I would like to
thank Mr. Rezaei, you and the honorable people who tolerated us for 3 sessions. Anyway, the accusations level against me in my absence. Unfortunately, you know, in my presence, they didn't have any argument. I have my time to just defend myself and give answer to those accusations. I would like to thank all of you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Rezaei. How much time do I have? 4 minutes. Okay, one serious problem with Mr. Ahmadinejad is that Mr. Ahmadinejad considers himself as the expert of all experts in all spheres. Security-wise, he thinks that he's the only person who understands. He's a know-all in economy, and that's why he feels some kind of isolation around himself, and nobody feels secure around him, and he's always replacing these people. Instead of actually referring to those intelligence organizations inside America. Instead of defending them, he should have defended the Iranian armed forces and the leadership and also the elite in the country that prevented, through their deterrent action, Americans' invasion of Iran. 3 times Mr. Bush decided to attack Iran, but this was nullified. There were tens of maneuvers by Iranian armed forces. The leader himself told the armed forces, you should take it very seriously, that 100% the war will happen. In all provincial centers, we were told to be ready for war. And Mr. Ahmadinejad has removed those governor generals. So one main problem for Mr. Ahmadinejad is if he's re-elected, this insecurity, if it is, he's going to run it like this, we will definitely face irreparable dangers in this country. As a brother, I'm telling Mr. Ahmadinejad, he knows that I sympathize with him. I advise him not to think like that. America's war with Iran against Iran was definite, was for sure. It was the vigilance of the leader and the military drills of the armed forces. And
how
one of
your
the
viewpoint?
Things that stopped Mr. Bush doing this was the revelations, extensive revelations done on the base by military analysts. And Mr. Bush was always calling this propaganda against him, and he was not going to attack. But he really meant to attack, but it was the plan was nullified. And the issue of unemployment, the yardstick for unemployment has changed. They have changed this. 2 hours in a day work means employment. That's not true. It's really 20%. The unemployment rate is 20%. People can judge for themselves. You people, how many people are there among your family members who are unemployed? With the percentage that Ahmadinejad is citing, does that conform to the people, jobless people in your family? You decide. So with figures and numbers, we cannot stretch the facts and hide the truth. I'm not claiming that Mr. Ahmadinejad is lying, but these figures and statistics which help us actually try to justify our deeds, that's not true. Like closing our eyes on realities and not making predictions and then facing crisis, that's not the right way. How could the price of oil drop from $100 as Mr. Ahmadinejad was predicting? And that happened. And many predictions Mr. Ahmadinejad made, many of them proved wrong. I think I should refer to the question of elite again. If you really had used the elite in your government, these would have never happened. The elite, of course, they're difficult. They challenge you. They are not your servants, you know, during a war in a military operation.
You have only 30 seconds.
Told me, why are we doing this? They were asking me questions. I never lost my temper to tell them that you don't understand. I tried to interact with them and to tolerate them and work with them. Mr. Ahmadinejad should change his mentality and his manners.
Thank you very much. You know, the growth rate was changed by the previous government. It's for information of the people.
Mr. Ahmadinejad, your time is over. So you can also say something.
Do you have anything to say? You have a few seconds.
No, I think these figures are fabricated. And if I am the president, I will put an end to all these.
Thank you very much. It was a very nice debate. I would like to thank both the participants for the participation. Well done. Good luck, dear viewers. See you on Friday at the ballot boxes.